I speak to you in the name of the living God, blessed Trinity, and lover of your souls. Amen. Pity does not empower, does not transform, does not replenish or renew, one modern storyteller writes. Regardless of the good intentions behind it, pity is a stagnant emotion that fails to provide a sturdy foundation upon which to build. Pity. It's a word that has been in decline for about the last 200 years. It's accrued this negative association of condescension and insults. I don't want your pity is a common retort. But pity wasn't always understood this way. 500 years ago, Michelangelo carved his famous sculpture titled La Pietà, The Pity. This statue, it lives at St. Peter's Basilica in Vatican City, and there is no hint of inferiority carved into its white marble. Instead, you'll find Mary cradling the body of Jesus in her lap. The pity. The image conveys tremendous compassion and mourning and sorrow. Roll back another 1,000 years or two to today's gospel reading, and you'll hear this theme of pity continue in Jesus' famous parable of the Good Samaritan, where a man sees another man beaten on the side of the road and is moved with pity. In the ancient world, pity was one of humanity's most altruistic emotions. There are two Greek words commonly translated as pity in this story that can help us understand the ancient concept more deeply. The first word that we get translated as pity is splanchnidzomai. So say that 3 times fast. Yeah, that's pretty bad. So this is where we get the Good Samaritan was moved with pity, splanchnidzomai. This is a deeply, deeply human word. It is bodily, it is raw and mortal. Some think that this is the word where we get the word spleen in English. It means guts. Splanchnidzomai. The same root word is used to describe the gruesome death of Judas Iscariot. Now, when the man we call the Good Samaritan saw another man beaten on the side of the road, his guts moved. Have you ever seen something or someone that made your insides lurch? That feeling in the gut that comes with this sudden flash of insight, a recognition that something is really wrong here, maybe even morally terrifying. If you've ever felt that, you felt splanchnidzomai, what the ancients call pity. The Samaritan saw a man beaten on the side of the road, and his guts moved him to help that man. For Jesus, pity, it's not this surface-level emotion. It's a rumbling in the depths of who we are. It's visceral, this visceral awareness of our shared humanity. Now, in today's parlance, pity conveys superiority, but in the ancient world, it conveyed just the opposite. Feeling pity for someone is what brought out solidarity. Pity recognizes that whatever has befallen this person could one day befall me too. And all over the New Testament, all over, Jesus' stomach is lurching everywhere. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all use splanchnidzomai to describe Jesus' emotional experience. Jesus is feeling pity He feels it when he sees his fellow Jews living like sheep without a shepherd. When he finds himself surrounded by sick people seeking healing. When he observes the hundreds skipping meals just to hear him teach and preach. Jesus feels pity. When he encounters a man with leprosy and two men who are blind. He feels it when he meets a grieving widow who has just lost her only son. And then Jesus himself uses this word pity to describe the main characters in his three most famous parables, the unforgiving servant, the prodigal son, and the good Samaritan. Because he wants us to identify with this gut-wrenching emotion that God feels for us. At the end of his telling of this parable, Jesus asked the lawyer that he's talking with to describe the theme of the story. So which person in my parable was the most neighborly, do you think? And the lawyer responds, the one who shows him pity. This is where we get the second word for pity in the text. It's not splanknizomai. This is the Greek word eleos, sometimes translated as mercy. Now, eleos is a much older word than splanknizomai. We find it in Homer's Iliad in the 8th century BCE. Eleos was a Greek goddess. And history tells us that she had an altar in the Agora at Athens around the same time that today's gospel was written. In Athens, it was said, among all the gods, eleos is the most useful to human life because of all of its misfortune. Now, unlike other altars to the gods, eleos did not accept blood sacrifices. Instead, petitioners would offer their tears on the altar, or they'd cut their hair and lay it there. They'd lay bare their torn garments as signs of devotion, as symbols of prayer for help. Eleos was the goddess of pity. The only sacrifice that she desired was a broken heart. Now, the ancient Greeks, they worshipped pity because they believed that pity was essential to the building of human community. They knew pity is what fosters human connection through the sharing of our suffering. Now, shared suffering, that's the literal definition of the English word compassion, which is a little more palatable to us these days, right? Compassion, co-suffering. But pity and compassion, those were once synonymous terms. The word pity was never meant to exclude a less fortunate person, but rather to include them as one of us. I don't know, maybe it was our own fears of inferiority that stuck that concept into pity in the last 200 years. But eleos, that kind of pity, it invites humanity to recognize ourselves and each other because of our shared experiences of misfortune, not despite them. The ancient Greeks believed that human pity was the primary shaper of a thoughtful and considerate society because it's pity that helps us do unto others what we would have them do unto us. And perhaps today pity can still help us shape a more thoughtful and considerate society because we need it today at a time when it's so easy to get overly focused on the many differences between us, political, spiritual, lifestyle differences. When we focus on those differences, we ignore all the ways that we're remarkably similar. Regardless of our political beliefs or our skin color, our nationality, sex, orientations, we all have big dreams and aspirations that just sometimes fail to manifest. We all experience love and loss. We all have a moral code of some kind, and we know how it feels to see that code violated. And when we acknowledge that commonality, when we can feel it, we're feeling what God in Christ feels for us, pity. What it felt like for God to be a part of the human race. Through this parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus invites us to feel what he feels for humanity. Will you let your guts be moved by the suffering of others, so much so that you will act compassionately toward them? Now, we named this parable the Good Samaritan, but it could have just as easily been called the parable of two really bad Christians, right? Because it's not just about one man who did the right thing and felt pity as Jesus did. It's about two men who refused to feel what Jesus felt. Two religious folk who refused to radically accept the solidarity that suffering offered them. Two spiritual people who refused to accept that this man left for dead on the side of the road could have been them. It could be them still one day. Through this parable, Jesus is also warning us not to become so complacent in our good fortune, so pious in our expressions of religiosity that we stop feeling pity for those who are worse off than we are. Maybe pity isn't as stagnant an emotion as we think it is. Maybe it doesn't fail to provide a sturdy foundation upon which to build. Maybe it is the foundation upon which to build. Because for the ancient Greeks and for the ancient Jews and for Jesus, pity is not just this surface-level emotion. It's the gut-wrenching emotion that springs from the very heart of God. Eleos, the goddess of pity. That's the Greek word that the ancient Hebrews used to translate the concept of chesed into Greek. God's loving kindness, the very heart of who God is. Pity. In today's story, you may have noticed that the man beaten on the side of the road never speaks. We never really learn what he thinks of this Samaritan who binds his wounds. Does he experience his pity as condescension or compassion? We don't know. The nuance doesn't seem to matter to Jesus on this particular day. What matters to Jesus today is that this one unlikely human being chose to love a stranger just like God loves the stranger. The Samaritan loved a man who was less fortunate than himself, regardless of race or creed or sex, in the same way that God loves you and me. So today, Jesus says to the lawyer and to us, go and do likewise.